Okay, go ahead.
Good morning to all, one and all. We'd like to get, I'd like to start the meeting with a roll call, please.
Yes, okay. Commissioner Briseño?
Here.
Commissioner Buck? Commissioner Doby?
Yeah.
Commissioner Faruqi?
Here.
Commissioner Hamill? Commissioner Leach?
Here.
Commissioner Lee? Commissioner Matsuba?
Here.
Commissioner O'Neill? Commissioner Steinberg? And Commissioner Wang. But we do have a quorum.
Okay, great.
Six.
And Commissioner Briseño, would you like to start us off with the reflection, please?
Thank you, Chair Matsuba. Good morning, everyone. I'm grateful to do the work alongside with all our commissioners, our staff, our chair, folks that come to our meetings and speak to us about the issues that are important. I'm just grateful to be here with all of you. This last month, I think, was really important for the OC Human Relations. Around the community, we heard tremendous buzz, and I think that's the goal of the 2020 hate crime report. We saw so many robust conversations come through, discussions, plans around the hate crime report, which I believe that it leads to a better and stronger and safer Orange County. I'm inspired to be with you and challenge the OC residents to be inclusive and take out hate from every single corner of our beautiful county. I'm very saddened by the recent incidents and back and forth in the city of Irvine, and I'm looking forward to having discussions with you around that particular incident and our response to it. So thank you so much, and I look forward to this meeting.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Briseño. Moving on.
Item number three is monthly summary of commission activities.
Okay, and the rabbi is not here yet. Mm-hmm. I'll say yet.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone like to take, Norma, would you like to take that on?
I was going to offer Chairwoman if you wanted me to review it.
Thank you.
So just a quick overview on our activities for October. We continue to engage with our Income Prevention Network partners, at least NIAS, and really trying to build her relationships, get to know who our members are, and then also looking at how we will be able to continue to engage and tap on the network that we currently have to expand the work that we're currently doing. So it's really looking at discussing future network efforts and getting their buy-in, and I know that if you've seen the agenda, there's a proposal from one of the network members that she's been working with for something that we could do in the future. So, if any of you remember, I did mention that after the hate crime release report event, we had several organizations reach out to us about the data, and then really trying to discuss and explore ways that they could establish protocols and even a portal for their own internal use on how to collect hate activity data for their own organizations and institutions. So the LGBT Center of OC was one of them. Me and I met with them several different times, and now they're working on creating the protocol internally, training their staff, and then making sure that when there's intakes and phone calls, that they're following the process of collecting the data and making sure that they know, you know, if this was hate activity, what the process is in reporting it internally and to us. So we're hoping that this replicates with different organizations throughout Orange County. There was an update, and I'll share it later, but let's see. I think the last one is our staff had been part of OC Together Dialogues this year on helping them facilitate, and those wrapped up in October. So we had over, I think, 100 registrants and then 40 people in attendance. So we're going to be meeting to discuss community feedback and see what our next steps or what our response or follow-up is to that series of dialogues that were organized. Of course, if you look at your package page 7, that's your overall count of hate incidents that that was reported to me this month. And again, at this point, we look at hate speech as being kind of the leading offense, and then anti-Asian hate and anti-LGBTQ were at the top of the heap this month. Any questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Norma.
Thank you.
All right, next item, please.
Okay. Next is open forum. So if anybody wishes to speak in general comments, if you can hit *9 or the hand raise icon on the Zoom app. Oh, and also just to let you know, Commissioner Wang did join us during Norma's overview. So she is here now.
Great.
And we do not have any requests to speak.
All right, we'll move to the next item.
Item number 4 is AB 361 review and make findings to continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19 as required by Government Code subsection 54959E3.
All right, so as stated, in order to continue having virtual meetings, we have to put in a request within 30 days of the next meeting and kind of have a reason why we continue with the virtual meetings. So right now, this is a special meeting. This is not our regularly scheduled, as we all know. In order to continue for next month, we would have to put in a request in time to meet that 30 days. So, or we would have to change the date of next month's meeting. Is there any discussion around this? Any feelings about it?
To clarify, so as the action item states, when COVID hit, Governor Newsom put in a code to allow for virtual meetings to happen and superseding some of the Brown Act violations that could happen if we did this, right? That expired, I want to say, at the end of September.
Yeah, September 30th, so, October 1st.
Right, and our meeting still fell within the first 30 days, so the commission didn't have to vote to decide of coming in back in person. With this, if the commission decides to continue to do virtual, it's going to have to vote every single time, every 30 days, to have their next meeting virtually. The caveat at this particular moment is that our original commission meeting was moved because next week is Veterans Day. So we can't wait until our next commission meeting to make a vote, because that's already past the 30 days. So this is why, if the commission deems that it's necessary to continue to meet, then we have a quorum that will be voted on, This doesn't mean, right, that the state of emergency is completely gone. We're still in a state of emergency. But it's really up to the commission to decide if they want to continue to do this virtually, or if there's no vote or there's no agreement, then next month the commission meets in person.
So, Norma, two questions. One, you were just saying that it has to be voted on every 30 days now. There's no way that we could do it in increments, as it were?
My understanding is that it has to be every 30 days.
Okay.
There is some legislation that's happening or some type of discussions happening up above that might change next month. We're not sure. Before the current situation, that's what the code says.
Okay. And then the second question is all that is needed then is a motion saying that we will continue next month on Zoom? Is that all that's needed?
Right. It would have to be, for example, the meeting would fall on December 9th. Again, making it a special meeting. Because it's not a regular meeting time.
Does that need to be distinguished?
No, December 9th is the second Thursday, but unfortunately December 9th is past the 30 days. So a special meeting is going to have to get called in between now and December 9th to make December 9th still a virtual meeting. Otherwise, we would have to meet in person, or we would have to abide by the old rules that the Brown Act has, which if you do meet virtual, your address gets posted on the agenda. Yeah. You have to post it at your house, all that fun stuff. So,
does that have to be distinguished, Jamie, in the motion then, that it's basically it is still a special meeting, you're saying?
No, December 9th will not be a special meeting, but the meeting that you will need to call in between now and December 9th to continue to meet virtually each time, that will be a special meeting. And it'll most likely just have the one item. I do have a commission that's doing that. They're meeting every 30 days, whether it falls, their meeting or not, and they just have just the one item to vote on. That's it. And, I mean, they did it yesterday. Meeting was 6 minutes. We were done. So... it's up to
you.
Well,
I'll move that we will meet virtually at our next meeting then.
Okay, so you're moving then to make the findings that the virtual meetings are still required.
Thank
okay.
You, yes.
So we can get a second then.
Oh,
a second.
Okay, and Commissioner Briceño does want to say something.
I was going to make the motion, but that's wonderful.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So I can take the roll call vote if we're ready for that.
Yes, please.
Okay. Commissioner Briceño?
Yes.
Commissioner Buck?
Yes.
Commissioner Dobie?
Yes.
Commissioner Faruqi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hamill? Commissioner Leach?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee? Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Neill? Commissioner Steinberg? And Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Okay, so it passes. And then we'll figure out what the next meeting will be.
So we'll have, yeah.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Next meeting. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so item 5 is planning presentations and speakers on current human relations issues in Orange County for 2022 Human Relations Commission meetings.
And am I up on that one?
Commissioner Leach.
Dot. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in an effort for our commission to remain proactive about things that we have learned about either through the Hate report or what we have learned also from both Norma and Commissioner Briceño about things that they have received that are hate-centric. I am
wondering if we can start off 2022 by having regularly scheduled speakers to come to us pertaining to some of the various actions and sometimes inactions that are going on around the county. In particular, I have learned about what is being dubbed somewhat workplace assaults and are some bordering on to violence, at times maybe not carrying through. The two places that I have mentioned to Norma that I would like to examine is one, to invite Registrar of Voters Neil Kelly to be a speaker, with 2022 being an election year. We're hearing from across the nation various election officials and workers who feel like their lives are being threatened. In fact, they gave a statistic just yesterday, I think, 1 in 3 workers feel like in some way they are being threatened. I personally, and I hope the commission, would like to know more about what is happening in Orange County. It was my understanding, and I don't know if I should say this aloud, it's not a direct quote, but I had understood that Mr. Kelly had expressed just weariness of all the things that are being said or done to some of the workers. And so I'd like to know ahead of time what we might be looking at come November of 2022. The other speaker that I would offer up as well is Mr. Seth Teagan, who is the CEO of Mission Providence Hospital. I recently learned, and some of you can speak to your own situations, but I had learned that the whole essence has somewhat changed at the hospital. I'm told that a nurse shared the story that in the very beginning of COVID, how families and patients were so grateful for the help that they were receiving. And somewhere along the line, this has changed almost to what I was told was a 180-degree turn. And now medical personnel and workers who are already just worn to a frazzle are being called liars. They're being pushed aside so that family members can get into rooms where they probably shouldn't be, lest they spread the COVID. And so I just, again, in the interest of being proactive and wanting to know where this is going and what we as commissioners for human relations can do to help either tamp things down or certainly help ward off some of these actions. So I bring that forth.
Anthony, you want to go first? I saw your hand first. I'll go after you.
Thank you. So thank you so much, Commissioner Leach, for bringing this forward, and I really appreciate you bringing it forward, because I think that is happening in a lot of professions. If you look at the beginning of the pandemic, teachers were heroes, and now teachers can't teach, and there's derogatory remarks being made about teachers. Definitely lots of hostility, and so my job is I'm the contact tracing manager in my job and vaccine navigator. So lots of hostility around the vaccine, and definitely, we're seeing that in the community as well in terms of workplace animosity. So I appreciate you raising it. I think it's a different, COVID has brought forward a different layer of hate that we as a community haven't experienced in this way before.
And Dot, Amy, thank you for your remarks. And Dot, thank you so much for bringing this up, because I actually did reach out most recently to Norma proposing some speakers for next year as well. So I was really excited to see this on the agenda. I particularly just recently participated in a panel in which we talked about racism as a public health crisis. And the other speaker included Dr. Chow. And he shared his experience, and he shared the experience of others out in the community. And it resonates with me, because, like Amy, we're involved in vaccination. And we have teams out there
in the community, for example, in North Newmarket, and we have people coming up recording us, right? And we have people coming up, basically what we deem as anti-vaxxers, but they're still getting the vaccine, right? But they're very angry, and they post profanity, and for us, you know, we've been doing it for so long, so we know how to react. We know how to compartmentalize, essentially, right? But even so, you can only take so much. So that is very, very, very dear to my heart in terms of, like, we need to figure out a way to not only try to make systemic change in terms of, like, saying, hey, this is wrong, and there are consequences, right? But we need to learn, you know, how do you deal with that? How do we go about it? And I most definitely have suggestions for some of the speakers that we can have next year, because a component of what we need to do, we also need to deal with healing. How do we heal? Because we are hurt. We're very, very hurt at this moment. And, you know, we are working in an environment, somebody actually mentioned, are we part of enabling those behaviors? Right? By not doing something, we're enabling. And for me, that really hit me hard, because that's true, right? If we don't stand up, if we don't, you know, there are consequences, find solutions to that. We're not going to heal from this, because I do have sleepless nights in terms of, okay, we have this coming up. What am I going to anticipate? What's the worst case scenario, right? And I think that we need to be bringing in speakers who can also address healing. And one of the speakers that I was on a panel with, what she called was radical healing. And she had so many components of what that means, from a CBO to the average person, to, for example, medical providers, like, what can we all learn from that, this moment, and move forward, right? Even if other people who are resistant to change, resistant to what we see right now, at least we still need to take care of who we are and who we're surrounded by, and give them, you know, some sort of peace of mind, right? So I thank you so much, Dot. Like, yes, let's get these speakers aligned.
And I see Commissioner Baruki has a hand up.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, you know, I am with what has been suggested, Commissioner Dottleach. Thanks for bringing that up. You know, pre-pandemic, we used to have speakers come and speak on different issues, but COVID has changed the landscape and the issues that are more important today. Just as a side note, and I shared this with the Chair yesterday, that I was at a meeting that dealt with hate crimes and hate issues, in particular to the Muslim community, Islamophobia, and things of that nature, but overall as happening on college campuses, high school, and all that. And AG, Attorney General of California, Rob Bonta, was there with his assistant addressing these issues. Very informative session. And I, along the lines of what is being suggested here, that we invite, not necessarily him, I don't think he'll have the time to come, but he does have his department head secretary, or director, I should say. Her name is Kat now, and she is the director for community awareness and resources and all that. And there are quite things of mental health issues, how are these things being coped by, or are there resources available? A lot of times people do not know, and they just suffer through it. And and we know that all too well because of the tracking and tracing. Just like COVID, we don't have enough information, data, which is hopefully we'll get there in the proposal that we have coming up. But I think this is a great idea. We should make it more planned out so that we know exactly in advance what speakers, what issues that could be coming. And voter rights is a big thing, which is impacting people, behavior, and all that stuff. So thank you. Thanks for bringing that.
Yes, thank you so much, Commissioner Leach. It's really important for us to be able to connect with those out there working in this space. So thank you for suggesting we plan for speakers to attend. Do we need to vote on that?
Or we can just no, it's a discussion. So I think
we have to bring it back.
What I'll do is I'll email. Just so folks can send me the list of people, and hopefully I could then, the commission would have to discuss, okay, so who's gonna reach out, when is that gonna happen, so that way we can start formulating and start putting together the calendar.
Okay, great. Thanks. All right. Next item, I believe.
Item number 6 is discuss commissioner send-off celebrations, farewells, when they end their terms or step down.
Okay, so we kind of touched on this a little bit, and we would like to have a way of thanking commissioners once they step down by having some type of a reception or gathering of our commission team. We're borderline, you know, walking the line as far as what's allowed in the Brown Act and what's not allowed. But after going through that, you know, the way that's written and the way the Brown Act presents itself, we are and do have the ability to gather, just as long as we're not having a discussion about commission matters. So what we're faced with now is if we do something, it started out, I think Commissioner Faruqi mentioned about Commissioner Hamill and all of his service and wanting to do something to thank him, which is a beautiful idea. The thing is, if we do for Commissioner Hamill, then what is going to, well, how are we going to move forward? What are we going to do the next time for the next person? So we do need to have something down on paper and have something, an organized way of doing this in the future. We could form what our favorite thing, an ad hoc, to come up with a plan. I mean, you know, we need to have a way of doing it, and we need it to be written down, and we need to know if, you know, if we're just going to each pay our own way, or if it's going to, you know, we don't have a budget for this, so we just have to figure out some of the fine print of what we're going to do. So, Commissioner Adobe?
Hey, y'all. So, I'm also, I'm on about a billion committees, but one of the largest ones is the Mosquito and Vectors. Mm-hmm. And if you can imagine, there are about almost 50 of us, because each city has at least one representation for all of Orange County. And the way that they do it is on the person's last meeting, they have either a plaque or a certificate, and they present it to them, and they do like a little slideshow of some of the highlights from their term of service. So it really isn't any cost to anyone specifically. They have a little line item budget. It's like, you know, they buy the plaques in bulk, they go get them engraved somewhere, or they just print out the certificate. They've been doing that recently because obviously we haven't been meeting in person, and they just send them either digitally a certificate or mail it to them, and give everybody an opportunity to say, okay, bye-bye, this was their last time. Next time we log in, we will see them. And it's really effective. People, you know, get that warm, fuzzy, special feeling because they are acknowledged, but it's not a huge expenditure because I know most of these are to keep the costs down.
Thank you. Does anybody want to add to that or any discussion about the way Commissioner Dolby's suggesting?
It's a great suggestion. Maybe you throw in a virtual cake as well, so if you can celebrate it virtually.
Virtual cake.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I think it's a good idea, but you know, the warm and fuzzy feeling, you know, sometimes it's appreciation is always good, and giving a plaque or a certificate. And I know that this is not to be somewhat, we have to be very even keel on this, that you don't want to discriminate or say, well, so-and-so's are greater than somebody else's. But I think a person in public service, like Chief Mike Hamill, it requires a little different approach, perhaps. You can't bundle everybody into that same spot, because he represents his city and his position, all that. So my personal view on this one was, you have to kind of do a dinner or lunch or whatever, if everybody pitches in, if that is what we can do. And I hear what the chair is suggesting, that we need to come up with a plan and an ad hoc committee. Perhaps that's what is needed as to what do we do going forward with similar situations. We had quite a few commissioners that left, and we just, besides a thank you, there was not even a card that we could probably just sign on to and say, here is a card that they can keep in memory as well. So, something of that sort, maybe a combination of these things, is what perhaps we should look at. But it's a, you know, we want to keep costs down. I think that's the easiest and simplest way to do to avoid Brown Act violations.
You guys know you don't have to be super scared about meeting, right? Just don't talk about your business. And there's usually someone there that reminds us not to talk about our business. And they will check us. Usually our attorney is present, our city attorney, and they're like, I tell them, pull me, catch me, stop me, don't have me out here acting a fool. But it's not as big and as scary as it sounds. So don't be afraid of getting together, because you totally can. Just don't talk about other things that you're passionate about, and it's okay. Please do not, like, it ain't as serious as they make it sound. Like, y'all ain't gonna be sitting there conspiring, and there's always someone present that can say, oh, and it's usually the chair or vice chair, and they're like, hey, yeah, let's, you know, table that. We can talk about that at our next formal meeting. But right now, we celebrating, you know, whatever with the cake and the wings and whatever else there is.
Yes, Commissioner Leach?
I have a question, and maybe Commissioner Dovey, you can answer this, or anyone, obviously. But when one is giving, or when a group is giving one a recognition, I guess my question is, how do you thank, and let's use Chief Hamill in this case, because he has, obviously it's his leading that has spurred this conversation, but how do you not talk about human relations items in thanking him for his work for so many years? Is it because the items are in the past, or you know, are they saying you can't talk about anything you're dealing with today or tomorrow, as opposed to a year ago when, you know, the chief was the chair of some ad hoc committee or something? I'm not quite understanding the distinguishing line between talking about the work of human relations according to the Brown Act and what we can do to say thank you so much, you were, you know, you were helpful on this item and that item and whatever. So can someone make that a little bit more clear for me?
I can tell you when I get hushed, it's because we're discussing things that are currently actionable. We cannot talk about things that we are currently looking or proposing to take action on.
Okay.
Now, if you want to address some of the things that he has done. For me, the reason that Chief Hamill is like, oh, we should do something more, is because he's the chief of police. And there has been such angst in the different dealings. And he really did, even in my short experience with him, make it so much more pleasurable to interact. And it was that spark of hope. Like, well, yo, if you this cool, you got friends, they've got to be as cool as you. So really, focus more on that. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be, like, when I get ready to come out of being a council member, they don't have to talk about what I did in council. Talk about what made me special as a person. Talk about how I impacted you with anything else other than, why did you vote for me? Why was it special for you to get to know me? Why did you want to be in some of the same rooms that I was in? I would rather hear about that. So those are things that we could focus on. But to answer your direct question, you can't talk about actionable things. You can't pull them aside and be like, so listen, how's the next person coming in going to affect these different, you know, when we're talking about hate crimes and how are they going to follow up, how are they going to fill your shoes? Like, you can't do that. But if you want to just overarching things, it's cool. But things that would be considered actionable, things that other people, if they heard you were talking about it, like some of, we got some pretty regular folk that call in, if they were to find out, oh, y'all talked about that and I wasn't able to give input, problematic.
Okay, thank you. That does make it more clear.
So, in that, with that said, Norma, will we need to formulate an ad hoc or before doing something for Chief Hamill, or we could do something for him but then formulate an ad hoc for the future, or?
Based on the county council recommendation, they recommended that the commission develop a better detailed plan, then bring that back and agendize to approve that plan at the next meeting. So the commission, you know, commission chairwoman can form an ad hoc to help in developing that plan and then presenting it back to the commission next month.
So can I ask, are there other commissions who actually have a plan, like, that we can take a peek at?
That's a good question.
This is Renee. I just wanted to make a comment. So we, under OCCS, which is Community Services, we do not have any other commissions that have a plan. And I would just advise, if you're going to form an ad hoc, be cautious, because if you develop a plan and it's set in stone and it is black and white, then, you know, there could be opportunities where we have a member leave for other reasons and it's not a positive reason. And if you develop a procedure that's black and white, that you will have a party for every person and the party is going to be so structured in this fashion, then you're going to have to do that. And then it doesn't give the commissioners any flexibility. I know that on some of the other commissions, they like to leave very quietly. They don't want a party. They don't want a dinner. They don't want recognition. They just want to serve their last meeting, and sometimes they don't even tell the other commissioners. They tell us they prefer just to go quietly. So be cautious when you're developing something if that's what you're planning to do, because then you don't give yourself very much wiggle room. It's nice to keep, you know, options available to yourselves. So maybe you do just discuss it each and every time, and consider the individual and how they'd like to be honored.
At least from my end, I feel like because we need to be appreciative of what we do, I mean, what we do is really challenging, that if we spend every meeting, let's say, there's a lot of us, every single time to discuss it, we're losing other opportunities to address what we need to address. You know, I really don't want to spend too much time, like, every single time somebody leaves, because I do want to be able to recognize them, but I don't want it to consume our time.
And perhaps that's where a proclamation or a certificate of thanks might come in, and that way, you know, it would cover a lot of bases and a lot of people, regardless of how they are leaving.
Commissioner Buck?
Yeah, I just wanted to echo what Commissioner Doby said. I think also just thinking about what is special about them and how they would want to be honored. I think I read this book once where they talked about employee recognition, and often we recognize other people in the way we like to be recognized, but not necessarily in what means something to them. And so I think, like Jennifer said, like not being, or sorry, Commissioner Wang said, like not being like overly structured about this in a way that takes the time away from what we need to do, but to make sure that we strike that balance of really honoring and recognizing what's meaningful for our community and for us as commissioners.
Because I think it should be symbolic. You know, for what we do, it should be a symbolic gesture to show that their time that they spent on these matters that are affecting our community, not only with Orange County, but for the future of our nation, there needs to be some sort of show of respect.
Commissioner Faruqi.
Yes, thank you. I echo the same, but I would just want to say Renee does make a point. We don't want to constrict ourselves if we were to go ahead and put a committee and talk with the plan. Keep it flexible and open enough so it doesn't box us into what we want to do, right? Like what is mentioned, I mean, we can go as case basis. If we have a standard proclamation or a certificate that we can develop, that the county board of supervisors sign off, and the chairperson of the commission signs off as well. So, you know, it's kind of fluid. You keep that going every time somebody leaves. But I think there are certain special occasions, people that have done more. In this particular case, Mike Hamill is just not a commissioner on our board, but represents the city, the department, and all that. So it adds more to the work that he brings, the value and all that. And so it becomes a little different than everyone else. So that said, I think I would move to that. I suggest that the chair does set up a committee. We come up with something very flexible, not to box ourselves, and yet plan for Mike Hamill before it is 2022. Right? The dinner, yeah. The food will get cold by the time we get it. Whatever that is.
Okay, thank you. Amy, Mr. Buck, that your hand again, or that was from before?
Sorry, I forgot to lower it.
Oh, no problem. So it sounds like we still do need to have a committee to decide how we're going to handle this going forward. I agree. I think it's a little tricky as far as locking us ourselves in and making it a standard. This is the way we say goodbye to someone. But I do think that we need to have some way of recognizing. And I think it's important for Chief Hamill to have some type of special recognition, for sure. Is anyone interested in working on that? Commissioner Faruqi. And he would need some help.
I would recommend Commissioner Dot Leach. I think she'll be a good help. I'm just pulling her in.
Commissioner Faruqi, I thank you very much, but at this moment, I would like to just step back. I am involved in several things going on, one of which will be talked about later during commissioner comments, and so I thank you for that compliment of coming on board, but at this point, I must step back. Thank you.
No problem. Well, I guess we'll have to go down the line and see who wants to.
We start calling people out.
I'm looking at our vice chair, you know, if she is willing to join in, or Amy. But your commissioner, any of the other commissioners who want to.
Commissioner Dolby, would you like to work on that?
That was my next comment.
A little insight on that. Yeah.
I'm going to tell y'all, I gave you my best jewels. That's all I had. My absolute best idea. Now, I can type it up and send it over to you. I can absolutely
do
that.
Yes,
but,
please do.
And I can send you my calendar as well, so you can see how riotous my life is currently. But we're all super busy. But I think that this is something that does deserve a little more attention than I can give it right now. But I will absolutely type up the suggestion, and I can even hit up, I can't think of what her title is, but she's the one that wrangles all of us for the vectors, and I can get that from her, and I can send that over to you as well, because someone, I believe it was Commissioner Wang, right? Yes, that had mentioned, does anybody else have a template? So I can get you one, and I can send that. I can absolutely do that.
That would be great. Thank you.
I'll send them the message right now.
I was going to suggest maybe we can I can request Commissioner Bassino or Commissioner O'Neill. I don't know if she's on today. I don't think she's.
They're both not here, so.
But I'll say yes. I'll say yes. Yes.
Okay, Commissioner Wang, work with that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone. Yeah, I think you can do with two for now, but more is always welcome.
If
your chair, you're always welcome to join in.
I appreciate that.
I know you don't have much to do, so why not?
Thank you. Thank you for joining.
Shoes all around.
Okay, well, for now, we'll say that we have Commissioner Faruqi and First Commissioner Wang. We could possibly add one more person, correct? I will check with the others and see if they're interested in joining. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to the next item.
Item number 7 is review and discuss the Healing from Hate film screening events throughout Orange County.
Okay, so there's a documentary that's been put together on called Healing from Hate, and it deals with people who are former hate hate organizations and who have changed their ways and come around to realize that that's not the way to go with things. And they're looking for us to partner with them or at least work with them on bringing this project out to the community and being able to have a screening of the documentary in the community. Nee, are you there? I could see if Nia could give us a little bit more. Can you give us a little bit more of the inside of what is actually
being brought to us? So, alongside another hate crime prevention network member and a few others that we want to reach out in the community, we're hoping to showcase this documentary as a film screening event. So, like you said, The Healing from Hate is a documentary film that really examines the root causes of hate group activity and how former hate group members have either de-radicalized or shifted away from racial acts and ways to form more of a compassionate community across the U.S. So our goal is really to create a space for community members, specifically in Orange County, to learn more about hate groups and how former hate group members have left and why they left. We also hope to create the space for a dialogue, so similar to the OC Together dialogue, on ways to combat hate and foster a community centered around love. So our tentative date for now in the planning process is around January 2022, but this depends on additional planning that may take place and additional local organizations that we'll be reaching out. The film is approximately 1.5 hours, and we're hoping to have it take place both in person and online to accommodate both different needs for our community members. And we're also hoping to reach out to prospective universities in Orange County.
Thank you, me, for pointing out what we're looking at. And, well, any discussion? Anyone want to comment on it?
May I ask a question? You're saying that currently they're seeing a premiere, and I'm putting that in air quotes, in January of 2022. Can it then, after that January date, if that is a solid date, is it then available to different organizations to show within their boundaries, or how will it be handled since what are the in-person boundaries? What are the virtual boundaries?
That's a good question, Dot. So for the film access, right now when we initially talked to the Media Foundation, it should be accessible to those who would like to participate in watching it for up to 7 days, I believe. In terms of protocols for safety, that's something that we still need to talk about. And it would be helpful to have additional help around that, particularly because it's constantly changing as well, and we do want to abide by Orange County protocols.
Anyone else?
Myself. Thank you, Jeff. Just a follow-up. So once this thing is released, maybe I'm missing something, so we get some interfaith groups or organizations to host this, to show, screen it as well, and then have a kind of a panel discussion after the film is shown, or the documentary. Is that how I understand it?
Correct. Well, go ahead, Nia.
Yeah.
There will be a moderator and then a panel discussion after.
So there could be several. It's not limited to one. It could be in different spaces in a church, mosque, or whatever.
Right.
Because the more that we are able to have this, and people will gravitate and understand and learn from it.
Exactly.
To engage. So
I meant to add that you're absolutely right, Fareed, that if the planning committee or the group that's planning this decides we want to take this to different spaces in Orange County, that can be done. So think of it similar to our work with OCDE a couple years back, where we, you know, we had an ad hoc committee that worked closely with OCDE to set up the agenda and look at the speakers, and OCDE took a lot of the brunt of the cost.
Right.
That would be the similar situation here, because we'd be working with several partners, actually, not just one, to be able to push this forward. So discussions around, you know, what we want, this first one went really well. We want to do another. That will be up to that planning group to decide who are you going, where are you going next, and what does that look like. So that could be possibly how that happens when you know how things plan work out.
Thanks, Mama, for that. Well, this January 6th is not too far away, so where is it going to be aired, or where is it going to be? We do not know that yet.
No, this is just tentative discussions.
Okay.
It's not a set in stone, because, as Lee said, there's still a lot of the logistics that need to be figured out, and it could be that we want to do January 6th, but the location or the host that we find says, you know, we need another date, then that's, you know, we just use that other date. So I think for the commission is, as the memo says, the commission chair would have to form an ad hoc or appoint a couple of commissioners to join me and the partners that she's currently working with to plan out the event.
And can I? Does the commission have a say in the location, or is it location determined by other folks in the overall group?
I believe it will have to be a collective decision.
Collective decision. Okay. All right.
And well, mind you, having said that, the folks in the planning committee are really, they would be open to any suggestions the commission has. Which is why this proposal is here.
Right.
It's because they really wanted, and you know, when they spoke to chairwoman, everybody felt that this was important for the commission to be a part of.
Right.
Sure. The reason I bring that up, I'm just off the bat, I'm thinking loud, and there's an upper campus, New Horizon Upper Campus, a school, private school in South County, and they have a huge auditorium, and that can open up into another section as well. I can reach out to those folks and see if we can do that, but again, this is a conversation in a committee, but I'm just throwing it out there. And you're not knowing what commitment that would be if I were to add myself again to another ad hoc, not that I have, you know, but I can be just an observer and contributor, yeah. But sometimes you have to dive right into it, right?
Yes.
So, I don't know what it entails. So maybe a little bit more, maybe if you can tell us, how often are you guys meeting already? Is it one or two meetings and you're done, or is it going to be a prolonged discussion?
As of right now, it's going to be twice a month, for about 30 to 45 minutes. The main thing that we would need to think about will be which local organizations would we like to reach out to provide support services or information about what they do at the event. We need to think about potential speakers if we'd like to have a moderation period. And we also have to think about universities that we'd like to reach out to, and also which universities, and then how do we reach our community members in Orange County.
And there's also a fee for the screening of $495. I mean, we won't be charging for people to attend it, but there is a fee to set up the screening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah, I will commit to the $495 right now on the spot as a sponsor from Universal Heritage. University of Heritage is a non-profit 501c3, which I am the founder of, and it's and this is not to take advantage of this platform, but I think if there is good work being done, I don't think that these things should interrupt any flow of how we do this. So I'm committing to that right now.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. so that would be from the...
Maybe you're getting this down right.
Universal.
No, that's fabulous for Fareed. We appreciate that.
I do want to clarify, make sure that we're clear about the licensing fee. As I mentioned, when Me came to me with the proposal and we proposed it to Chairwoman, the partners that she's been working with understood that the commission doesn't have a budget. I'm so sorry, I've got a... that the commission doesn't have an actual budget for this. They understood that and they were okay with that, and they said, okay, we will be able to work out the details with the other organization, partner organizations that joined. So, Fareed, your... I think once the ad hoc is formed, we will ensure that the logo and, you know, the information of your nonprofit is showcased as one of those sponsors and endorsers of the event.
Thank you, Norma, for bringing that. And yeah, I will sign up as a committee person if that is in keeping, Chairwoman. I'm throwing myself into every committee. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but I feel passionate about some of these things, so I just can't help it. And I see Amy might be my partner in crime. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes, I would very much be interested. Program filming is always kind of my jam, so yeah, I'm interested in that.
Wonderful.
Great. Wow. Thank you. Thank you both for stepping up on that. Appreciate it. Reed, you're going to be in a lot of meetings.
I'm just going to take a vacation after that.
I had one question, if you don't mind. For instance, it's just going through my head right now, is come January, there will be a new president of Interfaith Council of Greater Rancho Santa Margarita. There are two other large interfaith councils here in South County. If these three councils came together in a collaborative to want to present this film, and we approached, for instance, either a high school or even Soka University, I produced a documentary some years ago and we were able to show it there. But I'm wondering, in addition to the licensing fee of this, it's each time it's shown that the $495 is charged, correct? And then any place that might be available for the film, an in-person film, there could be charges there, correct? Am I correct there as well? So, any collaborative we would have to go into telling about is that there will be budgetary expectations, correct?
Yes. Well, and actually the fee depends on the amount of people that will be coming. So that $495 would be for a group of 500, and it's like, you know, $299 for a group of 300. It's, you know,
okay.
Yeah, it depends on the amount who will attend.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified that. That's mm-hmm. very okay. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be other costs as well if you're obviously renting out a space or something like that. Yeah, the universities throw it in, or at a place of worship, that's a different story. If not, you have to pay for it as well. Okay, so, and if you're going to entertain after event or the event, snacks, whatever that could be, I mean, those are all sponsored kind of things. But anyway.
Sounds great. Willing to have Fareed and Amy connect with me on this, and so we can move forward. Great.
Good.
All right, Jamie, moving on to the next item.
Item number 8 is update Japanese national TV documentary program request.
Oh, there's actually no update on that. We haven't heard back, so we'll wait to see, you know, what our involvement will be in that documentary.
Okay. So then item number 9 is update on Board of Supervisors proposal.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jamie, for that. And, basically, things are moving along well. There are discussion points on the contract that are still being worked out, the details between the contractor, which is HRC, and the county staff. Renee is on this as well. So it is slated, as was discussed previously, to be brought to the full meeting of the Board of Supervisors this month. I'm hoping perhaps Renee can give us a date approximate of this coming up this next week or whenever that is, because we were told that the board is meeting more frequently this month and into next month because of the district redistricting and all those issues. That said, from what I know and gather, is you're on track to get this done. I hope it does get done. We are almost to the end of the year before we can get started on this project and the proposal itself. And it will run out in 6 months. And I have made request on behalf of the ad hoc committee that there is an extension of this funding or the timeline. So it doesn't, June doesn't come about 2020 and say, oh, sorry, you guys didn't finish this job, so we're yanking it out. Well, it's not our fault. So, so it wouldn't be fair that we put in 5 months of hard work and with a rush to do this. And then there is a stop sign that puts everything into a halt. So we have all been part of it. We have worked very collaboratively. And I appreciate the hard work that was done by the ad hoc committee, which was recognized during the last time. I want to thank again and to the staff, Norma, and everyone behind the scenes. That helped us to get to the point and even as we went forward in the panel discussion. So this is where we are. I would request Renee to kind of just give us a little bit more if she can share what she can without going into detail, but more importantly, the date that it is for the presentation before the board. So that's where we are.
So this is Renee, and I'm happy to give you some additional information. Unfortunately, I don't have much more than I provided to you, Fareed. We don't have a date as of this point. The goal is for sometime in November. So like you said before, we do have a meeting every November in the month, every Tuesday in the month of November. But as soon as I have additional information, I will be able to share that with you. I can tell you that the negotiations are moving forward in a very positive and fast-paced manner at this point. And again, we are targeting for a Tuesday in November to take it to the board for approval.
Thank you, Renee. So because, Thanksgiving is coming up and then we'll be done. So the question is, does it hopefully doesn't get moved to December then, right?
I mean, that's the goal. I can't answer that question. I can't tell you we're doing everything in our power. But unfortunately, because we are in the heat of contract negotiations, that's all we can share at this point.
Understood, yeah. The other thing is, if this date is confirmed and you let us know, let's say next week, whatever, I don't know whichever method that happens, would that be an open forum for the commission, or the chair, or any one of us at our committee to be present, or how does it work?
At the board meeting, when it's presented to the Board of Supervisors for approval, it's a public meeting, so you are welcome to attend, you are welcome to send in comments that can be read in during the board meeting. You can go to the meeting and sign up to deliver public comments during the meeting.
Right. Okay. And we can bring in any of the outside stakeholders that have been part of this who are eagerly waiting to hear what the outcome is, the CBOs, anyone else that have given...
Any member of the public is welcome to attend the meetings and to speak during public comments, yes.
So that hopefully we get some lead time, so it's not the day before that we find out that tomorrow is the presentation, right?
It'd have to be the Friday before. If it's a supplemental item, it has to be, there has to be notice to the public the Friday before, so there would be notice.
Okay, all right. So it'll be some ample time, not a whole lot, but something. Thank you, Renee. Thank you for clarifying that, because we are really... hopeful, very hopeful and eager to get the good news.
Absolutely, we all are.
Yeah. the more you hear, yesterday when I went, and I even mentioned it to, not going into details, I just mentioned it to the AG, the Attorney General, right, that the county is working on something, and that he has the Human Relations Commission looking at data and analytics and how to deploy resources and language interpretation, all the other services that we have talked about. Didn't give any dollars and figures that was not necessarily, that is not needed. So, and he was very complimenting of it. You know, he said that this is very much needed. Yeah, and I do not know what resources are available at this level. That they are more the enforcers of the law and the civil rights and those issues. But they do have a people within the Department for Education and Services. So something that we can tap into, perhaps that's a separate conversation. But the point being made is, he was very supportive. He was very quite pleased to hear that. So I think if we develop this model, we can probably roll it out elsewhere. It is not there already.
You know, just to add, I'm not sure how many of you know this. I think I have mentioned it, but the State of Hate Commission has been established by the state of California. So there's going to be, I think they've been tasked to put a report together in the next, was it 2023, around the state of hate in California. So they'll be creating the task force to picking up different folks from across the state with different experiences to do hearings and such around what's happening in different communities to be able to build the report, which I think is really cool, really awesome.
That's good.
Thank you,
Norma. Do you know what is Orange County's role in this?
Good question. Not yet. I am part of the California Association of Human Relations Organization Board, and we've been tracking it. So at this point, what I heard this month was that it's been passed and it's been approved. So I should probably have more information next month on what the rollout's going to be. I imagine in Orange, if the Attorney General's out here, and he's had several meetings with different folks in Santa Ana, now in Anaheim, that Orange County might have a larger role to play than we think in that space. But as I hear more, I'll share more with the commission.
You know, with the Attorney General, were you guys notified of that?
You guys meaning me?
The commission, yeah, like you.
No.
Okay.
However, I did get requests for information on hate data from some county entities who were going to be at that round table. And if I'm not mistaken, DA Todd Spitzer did throw out our email there.
Yeah, I saw, that's because other people shared the article with me, actually.
Yeah.
And they were asking me, what's our role in this matter? And I said, I have to follow up and find out because I'm not too clear.
Okay, anyone else? Any discussion about that, the proposal? All right. So we will hopefully be hearing from the supervisors soon. We really want to see this move forward. All right, the next item.
Item number 10 is Commission Staff Reports, update on Yorba Linda High School and Esperanza High School Incident Report, and updated meeting and monthly summary rotational calendar.
Thanks, Jamie. So I want to just offer a quick update on the incident that I shared about last month. We received a report from the county, a social media post that was pretty hateful. It was a very, it had a hate type of speech on it. At that point, I had reached out to both principals at the Yorba Linda and Esperanza High School, and also the district. Last month, me and I met with a principal from Yorba Linda High School And really the discussion was mostly about how we could support any campaign or effort in bringing community together, and maybe even of a sort of healing process for those who might have been hurt from the comments that were made. And it seemed like the principal had already met with several other organizations such as ADL and had discussed some of their school programming around anti-hate. And what he really was doing was just vetting. He was kind of collecting information from the different resources in the community, and he mentioned that he was going to take that back to his boss to then determine a path forward. What he was clear about was there was, because of the nature of the district, this is a contentious issue, and it's not a... It's very black and white in that district. There's a... I think he's getting a lot of pressure around what his response is going to be. And he was clear to say that he was not looking to go back and rehash the situation, but really looking at how they can move forward as a community and make sure that, you know, this type of activity didn't happen again. So at this particular moment, we're still waiting to hear back to see if the school is interested in engaging with us. But we were really clear that it really wasn't his decision and who he would connect with and work with or how. So at this point, we've done our outreach, we've met with him, we're just waiting to hear to see if he's interested in moving forward with us or if he's going to connect with somebody else. So, is there any questions around that situation? Alright, so the last thing is, if you look at your packet, page number 9, per Commissioner Faruqi, I merged your opening and monthly summary report calendars and schedule. So everybody should know now who's assigned to do the meeting opening and who's going to be doing the monthly summary report for specific commission dates. It is a short one because I just, you know, till the end of the fiscal year, and then the commission will get a new updated one in June that will showcase the new fiscal year.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
It's great. Please print this, put it on your fridge.
Yes.
No more surprises.
There we go. This is great. No, it's really good to have it where we can just put our hand on it. Yeah.
And that is all I have.
And Norma, if I may, a request along those lines. Do we have updated contact list for our commissioners that can be shared? Yeah.
No. Thanks for calling me out, Marie. I will update the contact list and I will send it out before the end of the week.
That was not the intent.
No, I haven't been meaning to do it. There is a meeting, is that tonight, Jamie?
9th December.
For the city selection?
City selection is tonight, yes, at 5 o'clock.
So the city selection committee is meeting tonight. We do have two folks who have put in their application. So we do have Commissioner Lee who has the seeking reappointment, and then we have the new chief of police in Irvine seeking an appointment. Take over for Chief Hamill. So once those go through, you know, fingers crossed, then we should have a most updated contact list by the end of the week.
Thank you.
Great. All right. Very good. The next item, please.
Next is update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff. Guessing we don't have anything. So the next is the OCSD Interfaith Council update.
I can share. So the Sheriff's Interfaith Council had scheduled a half-day conference or symposium, which had to be canceled because they didn't get as much registration as they hoped for. The conference had been scheduled to be in person, and with still being in a state of emergency, I think folks were still hesitant to go into a big space and just, you know, be in a large crowd. So what the council has decided was to postpone and revisit this for 2022. At this point, the council has met for the year, and we'll reconvene in January to plan out the forum. That is all.
All right, great. Thank you.
Okay. The last is announcements from commissioners.
I see a hand with Ada, please. I didn't know you were back. Commissioner Briseño, are you there?
Oh, I never left. I'm...
Oh, you're in the car?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. I never left. I'm so sorry to be in the car.
Okay.
I wanted to take a moment. I wanted to take a moment and let you know that I've written a small report that I put together around an incident that happened in Irvine, specifically to an AAPI council member in that city during a city council meeting. And I believe that was forwarded to you, Chairwoman. And I want to have a discussion about it because I believe that the commission should put together a statement condemning what I believe is hateful comments towards an AAPI leader in our community. So I'm hoping that you as a chairwoman would do an ad hoc, yet again, an ad hoc committee, where we can have a discussion and make a presentation to you all at the next meeting.
Any other, any comments about it? Commissioner Briseño, are you? Oh, I see Commissioner Wang has a hand.
I actually raised my hand for an open comment as well.
Oh, for the next.
I do actually want to respond to Ada's comment. And yes, this is a very timely issue. It did happen, and many of us are actually very angry about what happened. So thank you for bringing that up, Ada.
So, okay, Commissioner Leach.
I'm going to ask Norma if she is able to do a share screen with the information. You're not able to do it with the information Mary sent you?
Oh, well, okay, wait a minute. We're going to finish up this one first.
I'm sorry. I thought you were moving on.
No.
Let's wait.
We need to see who would be willing to work on this. Commissioner Briseño, are you volunteering to work with that?
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
And then, once again, Jennifer, your hand is up for something else, right? Or are you saying you want to work on this?
I can work on this, but yes, my hand was up for something else.
Okay, so we have Commissioner Briseño.
I just wanted to, allow the other commissioners, just like Fareed. We feel like perhaps
I know. Thank you for allowing them the opportunity, but I think that you are able to help with it, and we appreciate that. All right, so that will be Commissioner Wang and Commissioner Briseño working on that. Okay. And then Commissioner Leach, you had something. And then Jennifer will go back.
Yes. And let me verify with Norma, was that a nodding yes or a negative no of a screen?
I thought I put in screen share, but I can't. What am I screen sharing?
The Longest Night Candlelight Vigil flyer.
Yes. Bring it up.
Okay, thank you. I know that the commission has worked in years past on hate crimes shown toward our homeless community within Orange County. And what I am bringing up is that many of you may know or have even been involved in years past for the Longest Night Candlelight Vigil, which is a time when interfaith community leaders, concerned citizens come together to honor the homeless who have died through the year. Each year, that number is growing, and I am sad to report that this year, the number is going to be the highest ever since records began being kept, and the number is quickly approaching 400. We had 329 names that we read last year. We are doing this in a pre-recorded virtual program. It will air on YouTube. It will begin airing at sunset on the 21st, and then will be archived on YouTube for anyone who does not get to see it. Some of you are involved with it, and we thank you for that. But I just wanted to make the commissioners aware that if you do want to tune in, it will be December 21st, the longest night of the year, the beginning of the winter solstice. And what we are facing here with the guests is for various reasons, as you might guess. But what we also know is that the numbers are not accurate ever. For instance, the coroner's numbers differ at times because should a homeless person die in the hospital, they do not consider them homeless. Should the body be claimed by someone, a family member, they do not consider that homeless, despite the fact that a few days later, or before, they were sleeping in an alley someplace. By virtue of the news, you also know that there's an entity in Orange County, or in Orange, called Mary's Kitchen, and there is legal action going on there, but over 200 people's lives could be affected by that as far as lack of food, medical or mental health care, being able to do laundry, just various things like that. So this is simply just making the commission aware that this is going on in an attempt to help our homeless brothers and sisters in whatever way we can. And thank you for letting me share.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Dad. Very important. It's really shocking the way the numbers are calculated. Like you said, if they're in the hospital, they're not homeless. If they have family, they're not homeless. We know that's not the way, the actual situation. And I think that so many people are just unaware of how rash this homeless situation is in our community, and people dying unnecessarily. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that flyer. Can you possibly email that flyer out to the commission, or
I'm working on sending that over.
Oh, Norma, you okay?
With Alice's letter as well.
Okay, great.
And, Norma, within the next 10 days, probably we will have a very brief trailer available that can be sent out and can be put on different organizational websites, interfaith websites, anything like that, and should have that ready in about 10 days or so. So we're happy to send out a kit, in a sense.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Commissioner Wayne.
Thank you. Last meeting, I wasn't able to share this, but I thank you. I believe, Norma, you helped me share it in an email about the health equity series that currently is available. It's a collaboration between, I believe, MECA, Be Well, Healthcare Agency, the Change Lab, BPEN, and I believe the Public Health Advocate. And the first series, which I was fortunate to be part of, happened last week, and which I said earlier, racism is a public health crisis. And the second series actually just happened a couple of days ago. The second one was health equity and social determinants of health. And there's a third part that's going to be coming up in December, and I double-checked it's going to happen before our actual commission meeting. So I just wanted to let you guys know that it's coming up on December 7th, in which it's addressing structural and systematic change to advance health equity. And I really encourage the commission to attend, but also share this series, because the series, it really is trying to explore like the connections between racism, adverse childhood experience, and the social determinants of health. The people that they have invited, I've learned a lot from them. And the series really is also to address how we can collectively move forward. And for what we do, I think that there's a lot that we can gain from this series. And I encourage you to join the third one and perhaps take a look at the other two series that have already occurred. It is recorded, and you can find it online. And I'll try to find an email, and I'll share with Norma. So I hope you guys just take that into consideration. I know everybody's busy, but take some time and watch the video. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Okay. Anyone else have something? All right. Next up.
Next up is adjournment.
Adjournment.
Then I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Here.
So we will adjourn, and we will look forward to having our short meeting to decide when our next meeting and request the extension of the virtual meetings. So
happy right. Diwali.
What's
yes.
that?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Okay. So thank you all for being here, and we'll see
you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Bye.